Hey everyone, it's your host here, Jake Hirschman. Excited for you to dive into these highlight episodes, whether you're a longtime listener or first-time listener. These are going to be shortened episodes from the past that bring you the best of the best of the content from great guests. Enjoy these and want to take a quick moment to thank our two sponsors, Suju Organic and Screen Skins. Get your 15% off Suju Organic at sujuorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O, and visit screenskins.com for 20% off at checkout with the code LIFO24. Get your screen protector today. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode. Talk about your progression ladder, creating your path, right? And I think a lot of times people will look at someone and they go, I want to be them, right? Or I want that, you know, president spot, or I want to do this, or I want to be the GM. And they always think about, I want to be somebody else. But you talked about yourself, right? And creating your own path. And I think it's fascinating that you had that vision for what you wanted to become. What are some thoughts or advice that you'd have for others on how to create that vision for themselves and not chase what someone else is, right? I think that's kind of the often trap that some people fall into.
Yeah. You know, I learned at an early age, Jake, and someone sat me down and kind of gave me guidance, but I learned at an early age that I could take the best from everyone that I had interfaced with or I had come, you know, in close contact with, but ultimately create my own journey along the way. And I've had mentors. I've had people that I looked up to in the industry, but I wasn't going to let anyone else's path define mine. I wanted to define my own journey, my own path, but take from different experiences that I'd heard about or learned about. And ultimately what I did is I visualized where I wanted to go and what I felt I needed in order to get there, what skill sets primarily that I needed to get there. And that's why I created this own personal progression ladder. And, you know, one step built off the other until I thought I was, you know, ready, if you will, at a young age to become a president of the New Jersey Nets when I was 36 years old. But I would tell people that, you know, have your own journey, create your own blueprint and your own path to wherever that's going to take you. But along the way, take the best of what you've experienced or seen or witnessed and let that guide you a little bit. And that's what I did. And I worked for some great CEOs, but ultimately I wanted to find my own path. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Andy. When I look back on my career, and I feel very blessed because obviously the sports world has grown and become so much more contemporary. But when I started, there was only 25 members of the front office. That included everything from basketball operations to sales, to marketing, to PR, to game presentation, you name it. And I was afforded the opportunity day one, literally, of here's a pad, here's a pencil, there's your chair and phone, dial for dollars. So no different than you and Jake, I came up through that revenue channel. That's exactly right. See that? And I look back on it now, and for me personally, there was no better way to do it. And when I do interview people, you know, it is glamorous as our business might seem from the outside. It's a grind business. I tell them you're using the wrong G. It's not glamorous. It's a grind business.
Good one.
And as part of that grind business, you know, it truly is a revenue business. And you got to understand, you know, the revenue verticals. And tickets obviously no one's done it better than you, is the lifeblood of a franchise. And, you know, thankfully I was able to grow up, and within the business, understanding the ticket business. Now, I gravitated to the sponsorship business. Okay. I'm not saying you have to be a lover of ticket sales, and I wasn't, but it was.
No, because we wanted to make money, and you could make more money selling $100,000 sponsorship and now 100%. $1 million.
But I had to learn the ticket business. And, you know, one of the things I often see in the business now is people gravitate to what they like and what they want to do. And unfortunately, in this business, you can't just do that. You know, I couldn't just gravitate to the sponsorship business because maybe it was more lucrative or sexier, right, got me into the boardroom.
You had to earn your way in.
Yeah, you had to earn your way in, and you had to learn foundationally, you know, what's most important to the business. And obviously tickets, you know, were certainly that. You know, it's interesting. You know, people ask me, even today, Brett, how'd you find Barclays? How'd you find Barclays and ultimately the Barclays Center? And I said, you know, it's interesting because I was dialing for dollars and I came across the top executive of Barclays and he thought I was pitching him tickets. and when he agreed to take the meeting, he thought I was going to come in and sell him a suite or some kind of ticket package. Lo and behold, did he know that I was going to sell him a naming rights, and you know, my ambition was far greater than just tickets. But that ticket, you know, call, so to speak, got me into the door to ultimately get someone to consider, you know, really Americanizing their brand. Well, you know, interesting enough, when I kept going back to the Nets, it was always under new ownership. You know, whether they had heard of me or I went through an interview process, whatever the case might have been. But I'm a firm believer, and we all know this, I think, but you have to live it, is that we're in the relationship business. And that when the door closes, it's got to be able to go both ways. And always take the high road. And when you leave a job, leave it no different than, you know, the first day and how you entered that situation. And I've always believed that. And when people leave me and I wish them well and I tell them I'm excited about the journey ahead, I always give them, you know, a couple of words of advice to say, as you transition out of here, whether it was in Brooklyn or even for that matter here at Roc Nation, make sure you do it with your head held high. Make sure you do all the right things. Make sure you're beyond reproach. Because if, God forbid, it doesn't work out, you'll always be welcome to come back. I mean, so I never got into the business, you know, to have a legacy moment. And thankfully, like, no different than you and Andy, we've all had great moments in what we've been doing. But when I look back on my career, at least now, and I still think I have hopefully a decent amount of years ahead of me, what we did in Brooklyn was a legacy moment. I mean, taking Brooklyn to the world, a market that was underserved in sports entertainment, relocating the Nets there against all odds, and you guys know the story and the delays in getting there, was a monumental moment, not just for me, but for the community of Brooklyn, the 2.6 million people that live there, and everyone that was involved. The other part that I'm really happy about is the amount of people that I've been able to affect along the way. When I think about the people that I grew up in the industry with, people that worked for me and with me and where they are now, you know, in their journeys, their personal journeys, it's really nice to see. You know, my head of programming in Brooklyn is now the president of entertainment at Hard Rock Hotels globally. My intern, Mike Zawadzki, in Brooklyn, is now the chief, you know, business officer at the Detroit Pistons. And the list goes on, and that makes me feel really good. In fact, this past Super Bowl in LA, I was getting texts and emails from many of my former colleagues saying, Brett, are you gonna be out in LA for Super Bowl? And I said, yes, I am. And we ended up doing an impromptu reunion of 12 of my former colleagues all getting together for a drink. And I gotta tell you, that moment, you know, the hour I spent with them, one of the best hours I've had in years. And it's just nice to see people grow and experience, and that you had a little bit of, you know, a part of that journey that you were able to share with them. So, you know, the legacy in Brooklyn was fantastic, but the people that I've been able to work with and for, that to me is really, you know, the importance of my career. And when I look back, you know, probably gives me the most satisfaction.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.